There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the Hoosier Huddle podcast. I'm your host, Sammy Jacobs. Along with us is TJ Inman. And we'll be getting into IU's big win last week, 52-0 over Eastern Illinois, and their huge matchup to open up Big Ten play with the sixth-ranked Ohio State Buckeyes coming to visit Bloomington at noon on Saturday. But first, a word from our friends over at MyBookie. So, if you found $100 on the street, would you pick it up or keep walking? Of course you'd take the money. So why do you keep picking winners and not betting on them? That's why I go to MyBookie. It's fast, it's easy, and they pay when you win. Let's face it, when you're betting, it's just as important as who you are, who you're betting on. I wouldn't be telling you guys to bet with them if they weren't the best. Do the smart thing. If you're going to bet this football season, bet with MyBookie. All right, we bring in TJ Inman. TJ, how are you this fine Monday evening?
Doing very well. Yeah, it's a big win for Indiana, and obviously it's one you expected to get. But you know, we're looking for, and we talked about this in the podcast we did last week. The outcome of this game was very likely never going to be in question. It was about self improvement for the Hoosiers. Could they address the issues that that were there in week number one against Ball State? And I think for Indiana, the answer was a mostly resounding yes. They could address those issues. They could clean those things up. Now, again, we have to preface this by saying, look, Eastern Illinois was not a high-caliber opponent by any means. That was a poor team that is on a lower level than Indiana. But IU did what, you know, what you should do to those kind of teams, and that's take care of them early and dominate them from the get-go.
Yeah, IU set the Memorial Stadium record for largest margin of victory of 52 points. Prior to that, it was a 1990 win over Missouri when it was 58-7. But, yeah, it was a dominating win outside of a few drops. I think there were four drops that I counted in the game by and a couple of them by Ty Freifogel, and another one was a wide open, either a touchdown, it could have been a touchdown, or at least, at the very least, a long pass play down inside the red zone for IU that cost them points. That's something that they'll need to clean up this week. It's those are the plays that cost you a game against Ohio State, the wide open passes that you drop inside the red zone with the chance to extend leads and put points on the board. I thought the tackling was good. And I think it was Alfred Bryant. Alfred Bryant started the game with two tackles for loss, and that immediately set the tone for Saturday that Indiana was going to dominate, that they're going to play a lot of guys, and that they're going to, you know, he had a feeling that a shutout was in play pretty early. And I didn't want to say it on the podcast last week because it's kind of arrogant, but it's like if you had a chance at a shutout, last week was that chance to get it. They got it. They put up 52 points. They played two quarterbacks. I thought both of them looked good. They played three quarterbacks, actually. Both of them looked good. Michael Penix played most of the first half, I think, outside of two drives. And then Peyton Ramsey came in at the end of the first half, immediately threw a touchdown on a swing pass that Ronnie Walker took 64 yards for a touchdown. He made some good plays. He was 13 of 14 throwing for about 211 yards, two more scores. And IU put a lot of good things on tape. You know, there was an odd fourth down call where you saw Donovan Hale get the ball on a jet sweep, and I think that was – just to show that's in the deck of cards for Ohio State this week. So a lot of good things that IU did. The student section turned out well, I thought, and you know, at 35-0, it's hard to stick around, especially with so many good games on TV later in the day on Saturday. And it being the first home game, TJ, I also want to shout out the game day ops people. It went a lot smoother, and it seemed like there's a lot less noise and more college football atmosphere at Memorial Stadium in Bloomington. The intro video I thought was very, very cool and well done. There was less gimmicky games. There were still gimmicky games, but it was less obvious that they were going on. The band has been playing new songs, although one of them is Baby Shark, and it's gonna annoy the older people really quickly. But if you haven't heard Baby Shark, Google it, or if you have kids, I'm sure you've heard it a gazillion times. But they did a very, very good job. But anyway, mission accomplished for IU. They got the shutout. They dominated. They came out of the game, I think, injury-free, which I think was the most important part outside of showing improvement. You got Charles Campbell some playing time. You used both kickoff guys. Just a lot of people played. I think 12 people caught passes. And 11 people got carries, so a really, really good job from IU and from Tom Allen for spreading that around. So let's get to Ohio State, TJ. They come in ranked sixth in the nation at 2-0. They shut out Cincinnati. So your prediction of that's going to be their hardest game was untrue. Cincinnati was receiving votes. Yeah, we do hope. But 42-0, they look like they're the same old Ohio State. Justin Fields is 38-50 for the year, 458 yards, 6 touchdowns, no interceptions. He's looked fantastic. J.K. Dobbins looks good, too. I'm sorry, if you hear a dog going crazy in the back, I think my dog's on the sugar high. I'm not sure, but he's running around like crazy. J.K. Dobbins had 38 rushes for 232 yards and things like that. K.J. Hill, 11 catches, 78 yards with the touchdown. And then on defense, the defense is stout. Jordan Fuller leads the team with tackles. Chase Young has 3 sacks, a pass breakup, and a block kick, and Malik Harrison at linebacker. They look to have solved their issues at linebacker there in Columbus. So Ohio State's still a very, very tough team to deal with, and we'll see what they bring to Bloomington on Saturday. Now, it's a noon game. It's on Fox. It's one of those tricky noon games. So we'll see. But it's, again, Ohio State now looks like the favorite in the Big Ten East and probably the Big Ten after Michigan struggled in double overtime with Army. TJ, what are your thoughts on the Buckeyes?
Well, the game against Cincinnati was really impressive. I mean, they were not as dominant as IU was against Eastern Illinois, but they nearly did to Cincinnati, who is a much better team, obviously, than Eastern Illinois is, but they nearly did that to their in-state rival, the Bearcats. I mean, it was, I think a lot of people, I mean, the spread on that game was about 16 at kickoff, and it was an interesting one to keep an eye on just because it was going to be the first test, if you will, for Justin Fields at quarterback for the Buckeyes, and he passed that with flying colors. It's less vertical passing game down the field necessarily than what you saw with Dwayne Haskins, but this is a very versatile Ohio State attack because of the legs of Justin Fields. Now, they've got a different cast of receivers somewhat, but it's still a really good group. K.J. Hill is kind of the solid one, if you will. He's going to be their more of their possession receiver, still capable of taking the top off the defense, but more of a possession guy. He's on target to set basically all of Ohio State's career receiving records. And then Chris Olave and Benjamin Victor are more of their big play receivers that are coming on. Both of them very talented. Garrett Wilson is a true freshman that they expect to be their next great wideout. And then a running back, J.K. Dobbins, a player that Indiana fans are very familiar with. He's torched the Hoosiers on a couple of occasions. I think that they will look to get him more involved than Urban Meyer looked to. I think the running back is going to be a bit more of a traditional running game than what you saw from Urban Meyer. But Justin Fields has a unique skill set because of his legs, very athletic quarterback that can hurt you. It's going to be very important for Indiana to be disciplined in their pressure. I think you do have to bring pressure against Fields. You can't let him sit back there and pick you apart because I think that they will just hit slant patterns and out patterns to Indiana if IU lets Fields sit back there. But it's going to be important when they do bring pressure to stay disciplined, because if you overcommit, lose contain, Fields can turn a scramble into a touchdown very easily. So that'll be important for Indiana's defense. And on the other side of the ball, Ohio State, I think it was expected, would be stronger on this side of it early because they do bring back quite a bit, including Chase Young, who is their superstar up front on the defensive line. The secondary has a lot of veterans there. But I do think that if Indiana is to have success, I do think one of the areas they can do so is against that secondary, which is probably going to surprise some people, but I do think that Michael Penix has the tools and IU has the playmakers that they can hurt Ohio State through the air. I think it's going to take some well-executed schemes, but I think it could happen. And the second thing IU has to be able to do, I think, it's control the ball, because Ohio State has a quick strike offense that if you get into a situation where the Buckeyes score, Indiana comes out, maybe has a quick series. It might be a three and out. It might be a first down, and then you have to punt. The Hoosiers are going to have to avoid those quick strikes by the Buckeyes that can turn a close game into a relative rout pretty quickly. We've seen that before from Ohio State. It could happen again because much like they were under Urban Meyer, this is going to be a quick strike offense that can hurt you very, very quickly. So those are kind of the two things that jump out to me right away. I do think that this Ohio State team looks better right now than the team that came to Bloomington last year did. That doesn't mean that they're a better team, but I think they have hit their stride earlier than last year's Ohio State squad did. And I think a lot of that has to do with the defense, how quickly they have settled in and really adjusted to their slightly tweaked scheme and their new personnel. But I don't think that it's a all-world defense, but I think that they are very strong with a couple of stars. But I do think there's a couple of areas that Indiana could have some success.
Yeah, it's one of these teams, and, you know, I think – I don't think 38 carries two games is that much, but you look at the way teams are using running backs, and they're just not – they're not running them into the ground anymore. So you also have Master Teague running for Ohio State. He's had 19 carries. Justin Fields has carried the ball 21 times for just over 100 yards, things like that. It looks like you're, you know, kind of more of a – last year was with Dwayne Haskins is kind of a different Ohio State team, and I think now with the running threat of Justin Fields, it's kind of a blend between JT Barrett and those teams and what you saw last year with Dwayne Haskins. What Indiana's defense needs to do, you're right, is get pressure on Fields. He doesn't have an interception, and Indiana only has one takeaway all year. And there's been a couple chances where Indiana's dropped picks, but it's not like, you know, they haven't forced a fumble. And I think they've only broken up 9 or 10 passes all season in the first two games. So the opportunities really haven't been there. And that's something that's probably keeping Tom Allen and his defensive staff awake at night, is trying to get takeaways. That's going to be one of the keys to this game. Is can Indiana get those takeaways, and then can they get points off of those takeaways? And for the offense, the opposite. Can you hold on to the ball? And you want your drives to end in a kick, whether it be a punt or a kickoff or extra point, whatever you want to say, kickoff, you want your drives to end in a kick. And not do not set this Ohio State team up early to put points on the board, to get their crowd into the game and all those things. This has the potential, if Indiana can stick around, it has the potential, and I think Indiana opened as a 14-point underdog, which I was kind of surprised at how low that spread was. The way that the media talks about, especially the IU yeah. media, or the Indy media talks about this Indiana team, and 14 points means it's probably going to be a dogfight, according to Vegas. We'll see. Indiana has to put their money where the mouths are, and you can't come out like you did against Iowa last year and just totally crap the bed. So let's move on to keys to the game. TJ, what are some keys to this game?
Well, I think obviously Indiana has to get in a position where this is going to matter, but given the way that they've played against these big teams from the East, mainly Michigan and Ohio State, there's not a lot of reason to expect that IU's just going to get their doors blown off. It could happen. It could. I don't anticipate that, though, and recent history would suggest it won't be the case. Now, what recent history also suggests is that Indiana will be in the game in the third quarter, and then things will fall apart. Indiana will get worn down. The depth will begin to show up as a big difference maker, and then there will be two or three plays that, or calls by the officials or what have you, that will make the game go from a one-possession game to a three-possession game in a span of, 5 or 10 minutes. We have seen that happen several times against Ohio State and a couple of times against Michigan. Or Penn State, but in Indiana, Tom Allen talked about that at his press conference today. IU is very aware of it. They're very aware that they've proven that they can play well against programs like this for 40 minutes, for 45 minutes even. They've yet to do it for 60. And that is something that has to change if you're going to pull off one of these upsets. It's highly unlikely that IU's going to get in a position where they're ahead by three scores and can coast home in the final 5 minutes. That just not in the cards. So for me, the first key is going to be, how does Indiana's strength and conditioning program, how does that improve depth? How does that, end of practice situational work where IU has put a heavy emphasis on, putting in drills and putting in exercises that stress Indiana late in practices when they're tired. How do those things pay off in a situation where you hope that IU has a chance late in the second half? Are they able to make a difference this year where it has been an issue in the past? That's a major key for me. A second key is going to be ball control. Indiana needs to be aggressive, but they need to do so intelligently. It's not going to be a team you want to get into a shootout with, and it's not going to be a team where I don't think Indiana's going to want to try to run 80 plays. I think you want controlled tempo where, look, if you've got Ohio State's defense on their heels, you push the tempo. If not, I think it makes a whole lot of sense to not play a deliberate pace and not milk the play clock every down, but to play a very controlled tempo. And then the third thing for me is going to be and I'll steal your thunder a little bit on this, likely it's going to be special teams. IU right now, number one in S&P Plus special teams, which is mind-boggling to have Indiana up that high, but they have earned it. Special teams units have been spectacular so far through two games. That has to continue, and, you know, making a big play or two on special teams instead of having that done to you by Ohio State would be a gigantic boost for Indiana to stay in this game and make it a really tight one at the end.
Yeah, you kind of stole my thunder on special teams. Who would have thought Indiana was number one S&P Plus?
Yeah, and good
but anyway,
them.
Yeah.
I mean, they have put in good work so far.
Yeah, after
so
the debacle last year, so far special teams has been outstanding. They really didn't get a chance to do much last week.
No.
In terms of returning the ball, they kicked it away from David Ellis on their only kickoff, and then their punter, you couldn't get it over 27 yards, and you can't line up Wap Fillier 20 yards off the ball on a punting situation.
Whitehead had a couple good kicks when he was asked to.
Yeah, he punted the ball well. Charles Campbell had a nice 48-yard field goal. And Logan Justice had, you know, one of those easy days where all you have to do is kick seven extra points and enjoy the beautiful weather in Bloomington. But or six extra points, as Campbell had had the other one in the field goal. But, yeah, my keys to the game are going to be takeaways. It's can IU take the ball away from Ohio State and can they keep the ball on offense? Last week, IU didn't give the ball away. They also didn't take the ball away, and they only have one takeaway this year. The goal for Tom Allen's defenses and Kane Womack's defenses is to take the ball away three times per game. They're well below that average right now. They saw their 19-game takeaway streak end last week, and they're back to zero. You're going to know that it's going to be a point of emphasis this week going into that game. It's big play momentum. You're going to have hopefully a sellout crowd or at least close to it in Bloomington, who maybe half the crowd is exasperated because Ohio State turned the ball over, and half the crowd's going to be super elated because Indiana got the ball back. But those are the momentum-changing plays. So hitting that takeaway goal, keeping control of the ball, is key number one. Key number two is Indiana has to run the ball. They have to be able to run the ball, to control that clock, and control the tempo. That does not mean they're going to come out in the triple option and do what Army does and hold the ball for 8 minutes, run, and things like that. This is, you know, you're going to run a four-minute offense and things like that. You're going to need these first-down runs to set up second and short and third and, you know, second and medium and third and short and keep drives going. I think Indiana's sitting around about 74, 73 yards per per game. So no longer are the days when Kevin Wilson was the offensive coordinator where you saw IU run – you know, between 80 and 110 plays every game. It's now Kalen DeBoer likes to mix tempo. They went a little up-tempo last week, and then they were able to slow it down. But they got to get this run game going, whether it's the offensive line's got to get going or the running backs have to hit the holes and pick their feet up. But the run game has to get going. And they need more than 3.9 yards a carry, even though Stevie Scott had 5.1 yards last week. And the offensive line has been great in pass protection. They have not let up a sack this year. They're going to be tested with Chase Young in that defensive line, but the run game's important. And then thirdly, it's going to be the first 5 minutes and the last 5 minutes of each half. Can IU come out, establish themselves without getting behind? You see in every going back the last few years, you've seen in these big games, Indiana falls behind big and then fights back. They can't do that this week. That's, you know, everybody wants to see a different Indiana football. You come out and give up 14 quick points to Ohio State, and it's going to be everybody's going to say same old team. Just like I was saying yesterday with the Jets, same old Jets that blew a 16-point lead. But it's how you finish, how you start and finish each half. And to your point, TJ, all those conditioning drills, those will show up in the second half. It's the first 5 minutes of the first half when you've got to survive that storm. The last 5 minutes of the first half where against Ball State, Indiana went on a 13-point run in the last 5 minutes of that half and in the first 5 minutes of the second half, kind of like the Patriots do all the time in the NFL where you see, you know, Tom Brady, your team's up by 17, and all of a sudden Tom Brady takes him down, you know, for a field goal at the end of the first half, and then they come back and start of the second half and score a touchdown, and all of a sudden it's, you know, a 7-1 score game, and they're right back in it. So the first five and last five are going to be super key. Indiana's got to be in it. They can't do what they did against Michigan State last year and throw an early pick six or do what they did against Iowa and just go down fast and just suck the wind out of Memorial Stadium. They need the crowd on their side because, you know, if the Buckeyes are in trouble, those fans are not going to be as loud as they are if they go up 21-0. Now serving beer in the stadium, you're going to have – it's going to be a party atmosphere even at noon. They got to get through that first 5 minutes, really establish themselves those last 5 minutes, and then in the second half, same thing, establish yourself the first 5 minutes and then finish it off. Too many times we've seen these – I forgot who wrote it, but they call them baby upsets. I think it was in The Athletic, where a team gets up 10-0, and we've seen IU do it a lot, 10-0 in the first quarter, and then all of a sudden in the fourth quarter it's 49-21, and you're going, what happened? IU needs to add points on there and take care of business. So those are my three keys to the game. What is your matchup to watch, TJ?
Well, I mean, there are so many that are going to be critical to Indiana being able to stick around in this one. I think that the most critical is going to be the play of Justin Fields. So I'm going to go with IU's defensive line versus the Ohio State Buckeyes offensive line and Justin Fields. And I include Fields in there because of his legs. I mean, even if you get pressure, he's able to get out of it with his legs. So it's going to be getting the pressure, containing Fields, and then finishing that play. If you get a shot at him, you've got to take him down. That does not mean injure. It doesn't mean anything like that. It means you have to finish the play by getting that sack or getting that tackle for loss and putting Ohio State off schedule. So I'm going to go with Indiana's defensive line, which had a very nice game against Eastern Illinois. They were constantly in the Panthers' backfield. It's going to be a different animal on Saturday against the Buckeyes. Can IU bring that same pressure and make Justin Fields make it difficult for him, which so far it has not been?
Yeah, so I'll go with two matchups to watch. The first is going to be Buckeye fans against I-465. It's kind of a tongue-in-cheek one. The southeast corner of I-465 is closed for construction.
Yes.
Shocking, right? Closed for construction. This affects both IU fans and Ohio State fans. I expect a late arriving crowd because of this. A lot of people are going to be coming in from the east on I-70. That those southbound lanes are closed, the southbound and westbound lanes are closed, and it could affect the first, you know, the first half of the first quarter if people don't plan ahead and things like that. And you know, I say it as a joke, but that it's a, you know, it's a pain in the butt if you can't get around I-465 on that southeast side. But my matchup to watch is the Indiana defense against Ohio State's skill guys. All fall, all spring practice, we've heard that Indiana's bigger, faster, stronger. And it's been the second year, third year, fourth year, fifth year, sixth year, on and on, however many years in a row we've heard this, bigger, faster, stronger. It's time to show it. Can they keep up with these skill guys? Can they keep them from breaking off these big plays? You remember that night in Bloomington a couple years ago when J.K. Dobbins in his first career game goes off for I think nearly 200 yards. Then Paris Campbell takes two long touchdowns and just outruns the IU defense, and that was it. That was all she wrote. Can IU put a hat on a hat and make tackles in space and get those things? Otherwise, it's going to be a long day. If you can't take care of Ohio State's athletes and at least bring them down to the ground, it's going to be a long day. And then you have Justin Fields, who could run the ball as well. It's a tall task. That's why I'm a little shocked it's a 14-point spread and not a little bit more. But maybe this Indiana team is a little bit different. We'll see. Final thoughts, TJ?
Well, typically do predictions. I'll throw one out there. It's sure to be wrong, but I do think that spread is fairly – look, typically in Vegas, when they put a spread at that level, they're kind of – when they open it there, they are begging people to take Ohio State. You would have expected it, given that and it went over Cincinnati, you would have expected that to open up somewhere around 20, maybe in 17 or 17 and a half, something like that. To have it open at 14, I'm sure it's going to rise. They're really begging people to take the Buckeyes, and that would kind of leave you wondering, what does Vegas know? It doesn't always work out that way, but a lot of times it is prescient. I will take Ohio State to win this one. It would be a little bit insane of me to take Indiana, but I do think IU is going to make the Buckeyes work. I think it's going to be much closer than Cincinnati got. I also don't think that ultimately this game, just like Eastern Illinois didn't, I don't think this game is going to tell us all that much about Indiana's season. Obviously, it's a Big Ten game. It's very important, and getting a win would be a program-changing victory for Tom Allen's Hoosiers, and certainly a season-changing victory for the Hoosiers. But I think that Ohio State is going to be ultimately in a different class. I'll take the Buckeyes to win this one going away 38-20. But I think Indiana's going to make Ohio State work, and I think show that they do have some talent, and the opportunity is going to be there moving forward. I just hope that IU comes out of this one healthy, and that you don't have Ohio State beat you twice, and then take care of business the next week against UConn. But it's a big game. I'm really looking forward to seeing Indiana measure up against one of the country's best.
Yeah, and that line has already jumped to 15.5 after coming out yesterday. So you're right on that, TJ. To me, it's all about how people react. You know, can you get hit in the mouth and react? That's what I want to say. Ohio State hasn't really been challenged yet this year. We saw it last year when Purdue hit them in the mouth. On a road game, they kind of crumbled. You saw it a couple years ago at Iowa too. Can this be that game for Ohio State? And we'll see if Indiana gets hit in the mouth, can they get back up? And they usually are able to get back up and go a couple more rounds, but never finish it off. I'm going to go Ohio State 42, Indiana 21. It's a game that while it excites me as a fan, it in the big picture, I don't think Indiana's ready for Showtime just yet. It's sure it'd be awesome to win this game. It'd be a program building win. I'm just not a believer in program changing wins. You get program changing seasons, but it'd be a program building win, something that you could send off to recruits, something that you could just sell to this fan base who's so desperately in need of this. Although I do believe if Indiana beats Ohio State, they'll complain about something. You know, the wind was blown in the wrong direction, or, you know, the beer wasn't cold enough, or there's too many steps,
well,
you know, going to
the
top
traffic.
Row.
It would be the traffic.
Yeah, or the
that would be
or
yeah,
the traffic.
That would be it.
Yeah, the traffic, or, you know, the cloud was in the wrong position. You know, something uncontrollable. But, yeah, 42-21 Ohio State, you know, in the long run, you said it exactly right. Don't let Ohio State beat you twice. And don't let them rep a season that, you know, right now a lot of people are projecting Indiana at 7 wins. They're the number 6 team in the country. There is no shame in losing to Ohio State. You want to play well,
no.
Get out healthy, and you're playing with house money to me. It's, you know, you want to take your calculated risks. You want to be aggressive in spots, but you also don't want to get embarrassed. So you're playing with house money. Get out of there healthy. Go play UConn on the 21st, which it was announced that it was a noon game, and then go get ready for Michigan State and the rest of the big, you know, the Big Ten schedule. And you know, again, my two biggest games for IU are the road game at Maryland, which now looks it's starting to look very tough, and the home game in November against Northwestern. So those are my two. The win would be awesome. They have – it's not a season wrecker if they lose unless there's a major injury. If they suffer major injury or major injuries, it could just blow up the season. But, again, Indiana's looked – They looked great last week against an inferior opponent. They did what good teams are supposed to do. The win against Ball State looks a little bit better now that you know that Ball State, I think, put up 57 or 50 points on Fordham, even though Fordham's an FCS team. They still put up half a 100 on them. So, you know, roll the dice a little bit, and we'll see what happens. We'll see where they come out. Anyway, TJ, thanks for joining me today on the Hoosier Huddle Preview Podcast for Indiana-Ohio State. And enjoy the rest of your Monday.
Thanks, everybody. Have a good week.
All right. That does it for our podcast this week. Make sure you tune in next week as we recap Indiana's game against Ohio State. The Hoosiers take on the Buckeyes at noon at Memorial Stadium down in Bloomington. The game is broadcast live on Fox. That's Fox, not FS1, on Saturday at noon. Check your local listings. Follow us on Twitter at Hoosier_Huddle. Come back to HoosierHuddle.com for all your Indiana football needs. And check us out on Instagram at Hoosier_Huddle as well. Anyway, thanks for joining us for this podcast. It's a big week, Ohio State week. Should be exciting. Weather should be perfect again. Hopefully we see a sold-out Memorial Stadium filled with more Hoosier fans and Buckeye fans. And maybe, just maybe, we'll have a celebratory podcast on next Monday. All right, thank you very much for tuning in, and we'll talk to you next week.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte. The spirit of performance is what defines Acura. And now, it's electric. Introducing the ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match with Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.